Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Hey, Dwell Church. Wow, we are so happy to have our pastor back from France. Babe, we talked about marriage last week and you were gone. I didn't share any of our dirty laundry. I just, only the good stuff.
All the good stuff.
Except for our first date. I kind of
at Old Country Buffet.
Yeah. Where all the old people went to the buffet and ate. That's where we went.
It was kind of like permission. It was kind of not from your parents, but just the situation. It was kind of like we kind of tiptoeing into permission to date. So we went to a safe. It's kind of like going to Cracker Barrel, right? Or Luby's.
Oh. We had so much fun last Sunday, didn't we? Who was here as we talked about marriage and love and marriage?
But we are in love.
Yeah, we are.
We have.
We're in lots of love.
I think it's important they know how much we love each other.
Yeah.
And they're covered by a couple who have a great, strong marriage that love each other more than anything except Jesus.
Yeah.
And out of that love, we just kind of spill over onto all of them.
That's right. Yes.
This is still February.
We love each other so much that we're going to marriage circle tonight at 6:30. So come on, married couples, y'all come on out because it's going to be fun. You guys had an amazing time in Paris, and I know you're going to
share a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to just, before he speaks today on the Glory of Eden, I wanted us to share, or to declare again together the 2020, Dwell Vision 2020. We were declaring that together all throughout the month of January, but we feel like it's important to keep it before you, before us, that we together stand unified, that this is what we're going after. And so let's just, Cole, do you have the next slide?
Let's all say it.
Okay, let's say it together. Our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and we declare we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to obey. We declare our families are healthy and whole. We declare Dwell Church will be planted in our own land. We declare Dwell Church will be an epicenter of outpouring of revival in the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Do y'all believe that? Okay. All right. I love you. Preach real good.
I love you. I wonder, do you want to go ahead and, since while you're here, read this prophetic word?
Whenever you want.
I'll speak a little bit, and then we'll come to that. What mic should I use?
Is this one good? Or is this one louder?
Does it matter?
Who's louder?
I just want to make sure you can hear me. How's that? Is that better? I have number two now, okay? Guys, I am so excited to be back home. It's rare for us to miss a Sunday, but when this opportunity unfolded, we just knew it was the Lord. And so I spent 3 days at Charisma Church in Paris with Tommy Tenney. And then I spent another 3 or 4 days with Denise Goulet and some people from the church in Vegas that we are connected with. Paul and Denise have been here many times, and they're part of our just friendship circle that we look to, and they speak into us, and they allow us to speak into them. So we spent a few days with them as well. So, and it was just beautiful to see. One little testimony. I was so moved by this. We left last Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Two Sundays ago. We left at 5 p.m. and landed at 9 a.m. in Paris. And the driver picked us up, and immediately they've got plans for us. This is the best way to set your body clock so that jet lag doesn't just knock you out. It's like we should be going to bed when we're landing. Our body wants to go to bed, but they kept us up all day, took us sightseeing,
And then they said, we have some of our worship team from Charisma that wants to meet you and go to dinner tonight. And I said, well, that's fine with me as long as I'm on Tommy's schedule. So if Tommy's cool with that, I'm cool with that. So we ended up going to dinner, and I sat across from this young man and right next to his wife on this side. And so we're talking, and the wife speaks better English than he does, and so he's a little lost on some of the translations. But we meet, and then while we're there, they're like, we have a rehearsal tonight, and we just wondered if you would come and speak to our team. And I'm like, sure, are you guys going to rehearse first, and then I'll speak? Oh, no, we're going to give you the whole night. And I'm like, okay, let's just go, let's go. And I get there, and there's over 300 people on their worship team. Like, they have a choir, and they have singers, and they have the band. And so I just went for it. I just started preaching. I preached for an hour and a half. And the presence of the Lord was beautiful. And then I went the next morning to their Bible school, and Gracie and I led worship there. And it was funny. Even at that night, I started, I'm there, and I just think these people don't know us. It's our first time to Paris. And I'm like, I'm going to sing this song. It's real easy to sing. There's, you know, it goes like this. My God, how great you are. And I was going to let the guy translate and so they'll know what we're singing. They started cheering, and they all start singing it in their language. They already sing our songs. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Then we sing, and it was like, it felt really good. And then I'm like, okay, you guys know this song? Whoa, whoa. And everybody goes, heaven. And they were just like, they were like on it. They knew these. I'm like, oh, okay. And then they're like, we listen to you in our car all the time. We listen to you. And then Wednesday, Gracie and I went sightseeing. And on Thursday, Tommy lost his voice, and they asked me to speak at the Bible school. So I go in, and just Jesus came in the room. Whew. I texted Nicole. I said, this may have been my best sermon ever. Jesus just came in the room, and there was the young man and his wife that I was with on Monday night. I watched them when I went to the Bible school on Tuesday, and they just wept the whole time Tommy was ministering. So they're sitting up here on the front row, and now this is 3 days later, and I'm speaking. And I said, before we get started, and again, I'm talking through an interpreter, so it takes a lot longer to say what you want to say, because you say something, and then you say something, and merci, mon ami, is that what? Mon ami, did I say it right? Okay, that means thank you, my friend. I was getting coffee at a coffee shop in the mall on one of the days, and bonjour is something you say in the morning, and at 6 p.m. I'm going to get coffee, and I'm like, they give me the coffee, because bonjour, and they just start laughing at me. So I'm speaking to them, and I saw them that first day at the Bible school, and they were just broken. I said, before I start ministering, I just want to sing this over you. And I ministered to them, and they were just mucus. It was a mess. These people, I mean, there's crying, and then there's mucus involved at the crying. You know, these people are a mess. And but I just felt a heart connection with them. And the next day, I get a message on Instagram, and he said, 12 days ago, I had no idea you were even coming. Well, 12 days before, I didn't know I was coming. It happened so fast. And he said, I prayed, God, he's one of the worship leaders. God, I just need to know what's next. He was looking for a new direction. And then in this prayer, he thought, if I could just meet David Binion. And then all of a sudden, he finds out, I'm coming with Tommy Tenney. And then he gets invited to dinner with me. And then I zero in on him to speak a word and sing a word over them. And the mucus came right along with the glory. And it was just a beautiful mosaic of experiences that created this beautiful picture. And you know, I'm at the right place at the right time. I said yes to God, and he's doing this incredible thing. And you think it's that one little life is insignificant. You may never meet these people, But God cares about each one of us in such a way that he'll pray this prayer. And, I don't have any magic words, but he just listens to our music and is so moved by it and prayed this prayer. And then God works it out for us to come. And it was just beautiful. And then on Thursday of last week, you know how you get those Facebook memories that pop up, right? Everybody get those. Who's not on Facebook besides my daughter? You're not on Facebook? Emily, come on. they have this, and some they call it time hop or they call it whatever. It's your memories. And so on Thursday, this picture, do you have the picture? This picture pops up on my 2-year memory. Do y'all see that? I'm going to talk about this today. You see right, that little, this is not the ulcer. This is the stitches from the surgery. It's kind of gross looking. Over here on the left, I don't know what that is. Maybe I should have got a better picture, but looks like something in my eye. but this was a picture taken after surgery, and it was 2 years ago. And so I'm going to talk to you about my encounter with the Lord when I heard him talk to me out of my sleep, woke me up out of my sleep about the glory of Eden. And so this pops up on my timeline in the very next day. Now, I already know I'm planning to share with you today about the glory of Eden. Well, I get to this other church. It's about an hour away from the other church that I was with Tommy Tenney. And Denise Goulet said, she's in the middle of the service. He calls me up. She says, I want you to share. We're talking about how God speaks through dreams and visions. I want you to share about the glory of Eden. And I was like, I just saw this picture the day before, remembering what happened. And I'm going to share with you what happened. And so I started preaching. I don't know how long I went. That was a pretty good sermon, too. I don't know. I felt comfortable. I felt confident in a foreign country when people can't even understand me. You've heard me small down my preaching here. But I'm just going to dive into this. Before I get into the story, you can take that picture down, Ellen. Put up Joel, the second chapter. Verses 28 and 29. Father, I just pray that you'll speak to us today. I pray that you'll give us ears to hear what you are saying to us. That you'll give us eyes to see what you're showing us, what you're revealing to us. The path that you want us to take. Our steps are ordered by you, and you light up our path and show us the way. So I pray as we read the scripture, that it as it begins to unfold, that you will do something transformative today in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. I'm just realizing I usually put the scripture on my iPad, but I just have the reference there, so I'm going to have to come over and read it. Are y'all ready? Let's read this together. And it shall come to pass afterward. Now this is Joel is prophesying. That I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Everybody say all flesh.
All flesh.
All means all. Yeah. All flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now you have to understand this is in the Old Testament and there were only select prophets. Yeah, come on. Everybody didn't prophesy. But now here this man is stepping up. Joel saying, in these days, your sons and your daughters on all flesh, sons and daughters, will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Next verse. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. On the men and the women. I will pour out my spirit. Let's go back to the first verse. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man and your young man will have the ability to see. So we're talking sons and daughters, old and young, men and women. God is pouring his spirit out. This is what Joel sees at a future time coming. So in the second chapter of Acts, let's go there. Peter comes stumbling out of the upper room after fire fell on their head. The wind of God comes, the sound from heaven comes. We all know about the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And some people think they're drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and Peter comes out, and he is going to reference what we just read. And it's almost word for word, but we're going to read it anyway. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell," I like that word, "in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." In the original King James, it says, "This is that." Everybody say, "This is that." Peter steps out and says, "This is that. This is what Joel talked about. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters shall, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." You might not be a prophet. You may not consider yourself a prophet, someone that serves in the office of a prophet, but you get around prophetic people and the prophetic unction becomes part of our culture. We all lend to, we're given to see things differently. We're the lens of life causes us to see in a prophetic nature. Our ears help us to hear things in a different way. We were just playing waterfall. And so, if you ever get to, do y'all follow all the YouTube videos? It's like any YouTube video, you got lovers and haters. And somebody is complaining about our song Waterfall because it doesn't have the name of Jesus in it. They don't know what it means. They don't know what we're singing about. Because they're not part of a prophetic culture and don't understand. And I wish I could have their address so I could send a couple of Wranglers over to beat them up. But they just say nasty things. Why? I'm like, why do you have to say anything at all? I mean, can you not? Anyway. Squirrel. So let's talk about the picture. Let's talk about where this whole vision, we're sharing with you songs from our new album, The Glory of Eden. It's interesting. I remember at the beginning of the month that we were trying to see prophetically 02/02/2020. And then the album actually comes out on 02/20/2020. And I believe this is a group of songs that God is going to use to transform his church. The church that has ears to hear and the lens to see, that God is giving language to establish culture in the earth. That he releases it on a certain day and a certain time. It's been in the making for a couple of years. And so I'm going to go back. I've shared this before, but we have new people that you weren't here in the beginning. And so, so 2 years ago exactly is when the surgery had happened. And so I posted this picture. I was so thrilled to be able to see. I'm going to kick back into Christmas of 2017, and Nicole and Gracie and I had been in Orlando, Florida at a Christmas concert. And so that night at the Christmas show, they have all these lights and all these decorations, and it was just kind of, it was just unusually uncomfortable with all the lights. I could barely I just had to sit there and close my eyes. It was so difficult to watch what was going on during the Christmas show. We weren't part of the first half, so we're seated in the audience watching all of this, and then all of our music is on the second half of the show. The next day, we're walking through security at the airport, and Gracie said, "Dad, what's that on your eye?" And I'm like, I couldn't see anything. And so she took a picture, and I actually started to show you that picture too, but I didn't want you, it was really this little, looked like a little gray blister right up on almost the middle of my eye. And so I zoomed in, I was like, what? You know, they started Googling, praise God for Google. And so they have diagnosed me now standing in the security line that I have a corneal ulcer. Turns out they were both right. I get home and I have an eye doctor's appointment the very next day after I get home. It was my annual appointment to go see if I needed to change my glass prescription, my glasses. And so I go in and they're looking at my eye, and this one guy, one of the older doctors there, said, "I've never seen a corneal ulcer like this in my 25 years of practice." And they immediately called a cornea specialist and sent me from there straight over. They wanted me to get in right away. And so they start all of this aggressive treatment, and they give me these eye drops, and at first they're not working. I end up after about 6 or 7 weeks of treatment, I am finally on 6 different eye drops. Have to set my alarm on my phone every hour of the day. I mean, I'm pretty good while I'm awake, but I had to wake up every hour of the night to put these eye drops in. And as it turns out, the more they searched and they tested and found out that it was a fungal bacteria infection, a fungal, which, so they can't give steroids. Steroids would normally help the ulcer, but they can't give steroids because it's fungal, and steroids would make the fungal infection grow. And so literally in a matter of a couple days, I lost complete vision in this eye. It just was like my eyes opened, but it was just like a gray cloud. And I couldn't see. I remember on that Christmas day, I couldn't even come out and sit at the table to eat with the family because it was too excruciating to just sit at the dinner table with the chandelier on over the table. So I remember just staying in the dark room with the blinds shut. I got those kind of dark glasses, and they give these little blocker even that's even darker than the dark glasses that you slide in, and to make it doubly dark. And even with those on, I couldn't bear any kind of light. It was just excruciatingly painful. And weeks and weeks, believing for a miracle. God, I've seen you do hundreds, thousands of miracles. I've seen cancer leave a body. I've seen everything you can imagine that's possible to see in the supernatural realm. I've witnessed it. This is nothing. This is nothing for you, God. Nothing. I'm contending for a miracle. And it just progressively got worse. And finally, after about 6 weeks, the doctors were, I'm seeing them every few days. They're just monitoring the progress. And finally, the doctor said, if we don't do surgery, you're going to lose this eye. And what we recommend is a cornea transplant. I don't even know what a cornea transplant is. I never heard of cornea transplants. Found out the first cornea transplant was actually done on an animal. Not a deer, but some kind of elk or something. Some kind of animal. It was the first that test about, years ago. And so I agreed to the surgery. Essentially what this means is someone that passed away, someone that died, harvested their body parts, and so they took a cornea from a dead person, surgically removed my cornea, and placed the cornea of a dead person on my eye. I call that resurrected vision. Oh, my God. Go ahead. Think about that. I remember going in for surgery, just, and again, this, the pain was just intolerable. And, you know, it's like, I didn't get depressed, but I could totally identify how people that get depressed feel. So Nicole takes me in for the surgery. I'm a little scared. I don't know if I'm going to come out able to see or not. Turns out I come out with a big patch on my eye and I can't see. But what happens that very night, I go to sleep, and I've got to keep this patch on for 24 hours. I go to sleep and I start having divine visitations in my dream life. Then I would wake up from the dream and I would go into a vision. So I'm having dreams and seeing visions. I don't know if I'm young or old. But I appreciate they laugh at that little joke. It's, you know, I worked on that one. So I all these different dreams. I have many, many dreams for days and days and days, weeks and weeks. And I've always had unusual dreams. Last night, I was having a dream, and Nicole thought I was having a bad dream because I'm laying there going, trying to, I'm talking in my sleep. And then, so she wakes me up, but what happened was, I was dreamt I was on TBN, sitting in a chair, talking about the presence of God. And in the dream, I was going, I must have his presence. I must have him. And I was passionate in my dream. And then she woke me up. I mean, it was like Jesus was moving in that studio. It was like, it was a move of God in the studio, and she woke me up from it. So I'm having these dreams. In one dream, I remember seeing this hovering cloud brooding. It was, I knew it was pre-Eden. It was a cloud, but at the front of the cloud, I could see the face of the Holy Spirit. I never imagined the face of the Holy Spirit, but it was brooding over the face of the deep, brooding. And I could see like the edges of his face. I couldn't see like a full-on face, but I could see the shape of his face pressing from the darkness. And in the dream, I just knew he's unapproachable light, so he had to hide himself in the cloud. Wow, yeah. So there's just, it's like when you dream those dreams and you just know, that's what I just knew. He's guarding me from the death blow of his glory. And so I could see the shape of his face, never imagined ever the face of the Holy Spirit. And so brooding and brooding. And then I remembered in that particular dream, I could see him brooding, the same brooding Holy Spirit hovering over the Virgin Mary. Throughout scripture, I could see these. At the time, I'm like, man, I just woke up from that dream. I'm like, I'm ready to preach a sermon on this. Right now, I can't remember it all. I have to go research, and because I journaled. I always wrote them down. But so during this time, I started having this dream. And in the dream, I'm navigating in the presence of God. I know it's his presence, so I love it, but it's uncharted territory for me. And I dream this dream at least 30 times. I'm dreaming, I'm going, and it's just, I'm uncertain where I am, but I know I'm comfortable that it's the presence of God, and then I start to leave that realm, and when I come out, something comes with me. And I don't know what it is. I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't want someone to catch me with it. And I've got this, I want to get it back in the other place before somebody sees me. And so, and then I wake up. And then after I wake up, I don't remember what I dreamed. I'm just kind of disturbed. And I know something bothered me in the dream, and I don't know what it is. And then I would go back to sleep, and I would dream the same thing over and over again, many days. I'd dream it several times a night, and I would be navigating. This happened so much that finally I get to this place where I'm starting to narrate to myself in the dream. And I start saying, okay, now this is the part where you're going to come around and you're going to come out and this whatever it is comes out with you. This is the part where you get frustrated. I'm like telling myself this as I'm getting close to the end of the dream. And then before I get to the end of the dream, I hear a deep bass voice speak in this ear. And I'm laying in my bed in my bedroom and I hear this voice say, the glory of Eden has broken through. I never heard anybody talk about the glory of Eden breaking through anywhere. But instead of being frustrated by this entity, whatever came out with me, instead of being frustrated and embarrassed, I became intrigued. The glory of Eden. The glory of Eden. And I began to observe. And then I could see through a cloud. I go into this vision. So I wake up, the glory is with me. But it's not like, I don't know how to describe it. I still don't know how to describe it, but I knew it was with me. And then I could see through a cloud. I could see a girl who was wounded and broken from years of abuse. And I knew she represented the bride of Christ. And my instinct was, I want to give her the glory. It was my intuitive reflex. This is here. I know what it is. And I see this girl who's hurting, and my instinct is to give her the glory of Eden. And so I just release it to her. And as I release it to her, I feel a rush of wind coming from behind me, the rush of heaven, whoo, sweeping past me. And in an instant, what years of counseling could not help or fix, in an instant, she was healed and whole. I immediately, I'm intrigued with the other place. I reach back into the realm because I know I just came out. I know it's close. I reach back into the realm, and as quickly as Thor's hammer comes swinging, flying into his fist on the movie, the Avengers Thor, as fast as Thor's hammer, the answer for cancer was in my hand. And I pulled it into this realm. And I didn't see who I was giving it to, but again, my instinct was to just release it. And as I released it, this wind of God blew from behind me. It swept past me, the rush of heaven, I called it. And I'm like, and then I just suddenly became aware there's this room of orphaned miracles looking for a home. Misplaced orphaned miracles looking for a home. My whole paradigm changed. I've seen miracles. I've prayed for miracles. I've seen miracles happen when I declare. I've always believed that nothing happens until you declare. And when I declare, every time I've declared, I've seen a percentage of people get healed. Everybody doesn't get healed. I don't know why, but I don't stop declaring. I've seen enough respond. I've seen enough healings break out. Upon, when I do make declaration, that I just refuse to stop declaring. But now I have this whole different lens. I have this whole different perspective. I'm aware that within my reach is an orphaned miracle that may find its home in your heart, sir. This miracle, Mike, this miracle right here. Oh yeah, my hand's on it. And here comes the rush of heaven as I release it to whomever I see the spotlight come from heaven. who's this? Where's the target? And it's just because I know that there is a realm of the supernatural available that we don't have to beg for. It's how we're supposed to function in the earth, what God originally intended, the glory of Eden. So I began to study this concept, the glory of Eden. Glory of Eden was a glory that could be handled and touched on earth. A realm of his presence that wouldn't kill you. A realm of the supernatural that you could touch, that's tangible, that's not like the glory when they touched the ark and were stricken dead, but the glory that God, this place, this geographical location that God chose on this planet where man could walk with God. He desired it then, he still desires to walk with men and women. It's always been his intention. And every time someone invites Jesus into their heart, he plants a garden in us. And there's always two trees. There's one tree that he wants us to stay away from because we can be lured and pulled away. But he wants to speak to, he wants to walk with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants us to function as sons and daughters that prophesy. He wants us, men servants and maid servants, to prophesy. He wants to pour his spirit upon us. He wants to be, Jacob experienced the same thing. It was like in the 28th chapter of Genesis, he falls asleep. You've heard me sing the song. You've heard me tell the story. The heavens open, a ladder comes down. Surely this is the house of God, the gate of heaven. Eden, again, the open door, the place where God wants to commune and walk with man. So, Kevin, just come here and play. I'm not going to do the track. I just want you to play, and I'm going to sing a little bit of this song. After this experience, I was in Nashville preparing, writing, trying to get the vision of the Lord for the project that we released this weekend. And I sat with some of my friends there and told them the story, told them my encounters. I'm like, I don't know if y'all are going to think I'm crazy or not, but this is what I dreamed, this is what I heard. And this is what I believe. And so we sat down and decided to write this song. Once in a garden, heaven kissed earth as God breathed his fullness into the dirt. Of the angels, it looks just like him as God started walking with dust as a friend. Once in a garden, with one whispered lie, friendship was shattered, and darkness would rise. God could have left it and called it the end.
but he is restoring the garden again. Feel the rush of heaven, hear the song and the sound. There's no end to the wonder here as the glory of Eden breaks out. It's breaking out. Nothing can stop it. Once it begins, hell and the darkness have no defense. Rolling like thunder, it's rushing in. God is restoring the garden again. Hear the song and the sound. There's no end to the wonder. The glory of Eden breaks out.
There's this little bridge. This is what happens when the glory comes.
See the lame dancing their very first dance. The blind stand beholding the face of the Lamb. The hopeless are singing. The orphans are home. In the glory of Eden, where we all belong.
This is the invitation. This is the life that we're challenged to. This is what God has called us to. This realm of living life. We've been invited to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. In this life, it's not a place. When Paul wrote that, he wasn't talking about what happens when you die. He said, be seated in heavenly places, the Eden realm. That's what he's calling us to. He's bringing us to this elevated place. And sometimes the prayer didn't get answered. But a new lens had to be given so that we could see. So that we could really see. The devil said, oh, I got your vision. You want to start 12 Church? You want to do what? You want to create a place for the supernatural? You want to build schools of worship? You want to do what? I'm going to take your vision. I'm going to shut you down and make it impossible for you to function the way you've always functioned. And it's like Jesus rose up inside of me and said, oh no, here comes vision now. I'm going to let you really see. I'm going to let you really see. This is the call. This is the plateau. This is the place that I've invited you to live so that you can really see. I'm thankful. The surgery's over. Vision is restored in the natural. But vision has been given in the spirit realm like I'd never imagined. So I want to read. Nicole, you want to help me do this prophetic word? It was given by a woman, and I think it sounds good coming from a woman's voice. I'm going to wrap up with this. We were, just before we left for Paris, we were at a prophetic conference in Washington, D.C., and a lady, a very reputable prophet, Jane Hammond, and her husband, Tom, right? We'd never met, never been in circles with them, but after we led worship that day, she was going to speak and called the three of us forward, me and Nicole and Gracie, and began to
speak this word to us. And I just want to read it before we close.
The Spirit of the Lord says, son and daughter, I want you to understand that I'm shifting gears in your life during this season. There has been almost a 90-degree turn that the Lord has had you make, and in order to make the turn, there's been almost a gearing down over the last season, and you haven't quite understood it, but there's been a gearing down so that you can make the turn, make the transition. And the Lord says that I'm actually going to begin to set you on a fresh course and on a fresh highway. And the Lord says that it's going to give you an ability to accelerate beyond what you ever imagined possible. It's almost like before you were having to navigate the curves and the twists and the turns. But the Lord says that I have set you on a course to make the crooked places straight. And you're going to find, says the Lord, that in this acceleration, there's going to be schools of worship and schools of the supernatural, schools of the prophetic, and schools for the musicians, schools for the vocalists, schools of the prophetic song. And the Lord says that you're going to actually find a whole new level of song launch as you begin to raise up songwriters and as you begin to raise up prophetic psalmists and as you begin to raise up those who understand the spiritual atmosphere and how to shift an atmosphere over a city and even over a nation. And the Lord says that even some of what you've gone through in the last 18 months has actually been sharpening your sword. For I took your sword and I took it in the fire and I began to sharpen you, says God, because there's going to be a greater effectiveness even with that which you sing, that which you preach, and that which you declare. For the Lord says that you will lead my people in declarations that will split the heavens open and that will cause heaven to come down to earth. Not just in a momentary way during a worship service, but in a way that impacts the terra firma. In a way that impacts the very ground that the people are living in and working in and standing in. And the Lord says you've cried out for revival for decades. And the Lord says that you're not just going to see a revival, you're going to see an awakening. For I'm going to cause you to be on the cutting edge of awakening, says God. And I'm going to cause even an outpouring of dreams and visions and revelation and a spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest upon you. And the manifestation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation will lead you and will guide you and will break the way open before you. I saw such an anointing upon your heart because you were willing to serve. And you said, I will hold up the hands of those that I am called to. And I see as you have given your heart, he's really brought strength even into some areas of weakness. And even I see some things where the enemy tried to weaken even your bodies. And you kind of had to go through some weariness and some things that seemingly were out of order. And I see God beginning right now to rework even some systems as he has decreed. It's time for things to align. And even though you've done your best with what you know, God says he's going to bless it now and increase it. Kind of like he took the loaves and fishes. He blessed it, he broke it, and it multiplied. God said there's a multiplication anointing upon you, my brother. And there's a seed that you have sown by faith, even of your life and talent and money. But God says on every way, there's going to be a new anointing of increase that he has decreed over your life. And it's going to be an increase of the anointing. It's going to be an increase of a company of those who will know how to operate, Dwell Church. But it's also going to be an increase of money that God's going to place into your hands. And the Lord says, don't think it a strange thing that I'm commanding the angels now to come and bring the promise in so that you can be who I have called you to be. And I see as you're worshiping, mysteries are going to unfold. It's like as if the heavens will unfold before you. You are going to see some things and you are just going to begin to prophesy, see and speak into that. And God says, he's going to rend the heavens open. He's going to break open the ground and there's going to be a loosening of an awakening anointing. The Lord says this is a very unique time in the earth, and he has shaped you and made you for this time. And a generation is going to be hungry and thirsty and come alive with the sounds you're going to release.
Let's just praise the Lord for that word. Let's thank the Lord for that word. It's a word to us, to this house, to this vision, to this city, to this church, to this region, to this nation. This is a word that God is speaking in the earth for us. Who will go with me? Who will make this journey with me? Who will take the land with me? Choose ye this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going for the glory. We're bringing the ark of God back to the sanctuary. We're a presence center, a house where the presence of God is the chief priority. And with that comes all of these other things. When he comes, miracles come. When he comes, healing comes. When he comes, freedom comes. So God, we receive your word. We receive the vision. Lord, we hear what you've called. We've heard what you said. You've instructed us. You've defined the glory of Eden has broken through. And God, it's now is the time. It's no longer just a story. It is a way of life that you called us to. And we take a step into it. We reach into it. We try to find the dance between this realm and this realm, and help us to be good stewards of this realm, but be able to host and bring from the other realm and share the supernatural abilities of heaven that are available to your people on the earth as it is in heaven. You taught us to pray. That's always been your vision on earth. That's why you planted the garden in the first place, because you wanted on earth what was in heaven. So we say yes. We surrender. We say yes. And so God, we this release weekend, it's not about career moves. It's not about album sales. It's about releasing your glory in the earth. It's about equipping people, putting language in the mouths of your sons and daughters to even perhaps even sing and say things they don't fully understand, but you just want them to say it, because in the saying comes the release. It's like the babe in the womb when Mary and John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb when Jesus came in the proximity. God, we don't fully understand all that you're saying, but the babe is jumping in our womb. It's time for delivery. It's time for the baby to be born. It's time for Dwell Church to rise up. And so we give you our hearts. We give you our commitment to serve well, to love well, to represent you in the earth. Not just in the walls of our church and our fellowship. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the worship encounters that we have and the miracles and the refreshing that we find in your presence. But God, help us to walk out of this place and demonstrate the kingdom, demonstrate the glory of Eden. In the name of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.